الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. وأخرج الترمذي وأبو داود واللفظ له عن الإربعض بن سارية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم ثم أقبل علينا بوجهه فوعظنا موعظة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منه القلوب فقال رجل يا رسول الله كأن هذه موعظة مودع موعظة مودع وموعظة موعظة مودع فماذا تعهد إلينا؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصيكم بتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة وإن عبدا حبشيا فإنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. وصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, both rahimahumullah, narrate the same hadith on the authority of Al-Irbad ibn Sariya, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him, who said that one day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led us in prayer, and then he turned toward us with his noble face sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he preached to us a great exhortation full of meaning. Such an exhortation that the eyes, tears would started flowing from the eyes and the hearts trembled in fear from that exhortation. So a man stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, it seems that this is a farewell talk you're giving us, a farewell exhortation that you're giving us. So what do you leave for us as a set of instructions? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, I give you as a wasiyah, I give you as a bequest that you should fear Allah and that you should hear and you should obey even if your leader is an Abyssinian slave. This is obviously in the context of Jahiliyyah, that there are people who are so obsessed with people's lineage and so obsessed with tribalism that they say that they used to say in Jahiliyyah, me and my tribe against the other tribe, me and my cousin against the rest of my tribe, and me and my brother against my cousin. That's how obsessed they were with lineage. And here's the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? That whatever situation you're in, there it is the sunnah to follow whoever is in authority over you, even if that person is an Abyssinian slave, meaning the lowest person they know in their Jahili tribal system. According to the Jahili tribal system, he's the lowest person that they know. But according to Islam, even if you detest the person because of your Jahiliyyah so much, you must still hear and obey. And obviously the exception to that is if someone in authority over you should tell you to do something haram, or try to force you to abstain from something which is an obligation of the deen, then you don't listen. But anything else other than that, it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people should hear and obey, because in the obedience to even a corrupt ruler, in those things that are not corruption, there is great benefit, and it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, I give to you as a bequest that you should fear Allah and that you should hear and obey even if the one over you is an Abyssinian slave. For verily, whoever amongst you will live after me, that person will see great strife. For that person will see great strife. So incumbent upon you is to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of those righteous people and well-guided people who will come after me. It's incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah and literally the sunnah of my khulafa, rashideen, mahdiyeen, the people I leave behind after me, who are well guided and who are righteous people. Hold fast to their sunnah, hold fast to that sunnah, and grab onto it with the molar teeth. The molar teeth are the teeth in the back, meaning even if you have to bite onto it to keep hold of it, never let that go. And this is very important. This is important to understand why. We mentioned this yesterday, that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who are the firqa of what? Of ma' alayhi ana wa ashabi. They are the group that are the ones upon which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'm upon it and my companions are upon it. Everybody claims that they follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. from the different groups and different sects, but 72 of them will be in the fire and one of them will be in Jannah. The one that's in Jannah is the one who follows what? Both the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhu. And here we're also seeing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's one sunnah. The sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of his rightly guided successors, it's one sunnah. It's seamless. There's no break between any of them. Why is it that we read Salatul Taraweeh? The form that we read Salatul Taraweeh, there's no documented evidence from the hadith that you'll find that it was prayed in that form. But it is a sunnah instituted by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu because of the basira Allah ta'ala gave him in understanding the sunnah from an usuli level. So he instituted it, and the Millah of Islam didn't reject it from him, rather they embraced it. Why is it that there are two adhans in the Salatul Jumu'ah? One adhan when the time comes in and one adhan when the Imam sits in the pulpit. It's not a bid'ah, rather it's the sunnah of a Khalifa Rashid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is the sunnah of one of the righteous and rightly guided, well-guided successors of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those people, those Khulafa Rashidun, their sunnah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr having compiled the entire Quranic text in one form that will later be standardized by Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nobody in their right mind ever called it a bid'ah, and definitely nobody from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah ever called it a bid'ah. And this is the beauty of the claim of authority and righteousness of the Ahlus Sunnah is undisputable. Why? Because even those people who, a'udhu billah, curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr and curse Sayyidina Umar and curse Sayyidina Uthman, they don't have any Quran except for the one that they get from them. So if you're cursing them, you're cursing your own Quran. The beauty of them is that there's so many things, even those people, many of the people who have bad things to say about them, wa'iyadu billah, Allah ta'ala be our protection, those people, their forefathers were delivered the message of Islam by the very people that they cursed. It's as if they're cursing the Islam that they claim to practice themselves. It makes no sense whatsoever. And this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the tradition of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the tradition that's bequeathed to us by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the greatest blessing it gives us is it makes sense. It's something that doesn't make a fitna between our brain and between our heart. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hold fast to that tradition as much as you're able to, and bite onto it with your molar teeth. If you need to, never let it go. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And I warn you regarding newly invented matters. Regarding religion, you can make an aeroplane and an automobile, that's fine. But somebody who says something new about aqidah that our forefathers didn't say before us, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or regarding the ibadat, the acts of worship, those are the two things in which there's a bid'ah. There's no bid'ah in anything else that's detestable. Those two things, the ibadah and the aqidah of the Muslims, says that I warn you regarding newly invented matters in those, meaning in those two fields. For verily, every newly invented matter is a impious innovation, and every impious innovation is a form of misguidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who hold firm to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his rightly guided successors, even if we need to bite onto it with our molar teeth. Finally, this word bid'ah has been thrown around so much by some people who don't have, you know, the greatest education in Islamic knowledge in the world. And it's become thrown around to the point that it's turned into a joke. Everything has become bid'ah this, bid'ah that, and the word has no meaning anymore. And there are many things that people in America, for some reason, seem to call a bid'ah, and they're not bid'ah, they're just legitimate differences of opinion amongst the ulama. And so a person, if you're not an usuli scholar, if you're not a scholar trained in the usul, refrain from calling things bid'ah that you don't know about. If someone were to say that, okay, we worship a second God, then you can say, yes, this is a bid'ah, this is not part of the original teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If someone says Ameen out loud, or doesn't say Ameen out loud, or is, fasting on one day, or fasting on another day, or 100 other things which may be bid'ah, but they may not be, but you don't know, just leave it alone. Allah won't ask you about it. Don't cheapen the deen by saying something that you have no ilm about, so that afterward people will go and laugh at the entire sharia. That's not what it's supposed to be. There is something called a bid'ah, an impious innovation, leave it to the scholars to delineate what those things are and take it from them, inshallah. Don't make fun of the idea. It's not a funny idea. The Prophet ﷺ himself is talking about it. That being said, know that not everybody who throws the word around knows exactly what they're talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in.